You're listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and we have David Maxwell joining us again for the last time in this series this week. And we're still talking about the 144,000. So welcome, David.
Yes, thanks, Jason.
Good to have you back here today. Remember, our show number on Tassie Encounters is 0488 880891. We've got a free book offer coming up. This is a great book offer called Creation and Evolution. So stay tuned for that. We've got the code coming up. And also remember that you can listen to our episodes on the Faith FM app and also the Faith FM website. So all of these episodes go up on there, and you can listen to them anytime, anywhere. We've been looking at a bit about obedience and our motivations for obedience way earlier in the week, but our personal question this week is, have you ever had a time when you learnt the results of disobedience? We'd love to hear from you. We can share your messages on our Friday program this week. So do text us in on 0488 880891. Share a time when you learnt the results of disobedience. So we're on the topic of the 144,000, and this is sort of the wrap-up for this week. Where are we going with this today, David?
Yeah, thanks, Jason. So we've looked at our behaviours and our motivations for how we act. And I think that's important to understand our motivations, as we shared last time. When God seals his people at the end of time, they will be safe. Now, we were talking before we started today that the sealing, it pertains to so much more than just protection. You know, there's you mentioned some of those things.
Identity
that you were talking
and
about.
Authenticity. Yes. And yeah.
That's exactly right. So for our last exposition on this topic, I would like us to read another passage in Revelation that mentions these sealed people. Could you read Revelation 14, 1 to 5? And that'll help hopefully give us a bit more context to who they are, where they come from, and how we can be part of that number.
Sure. It says, "Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God."
Thanks very much, Jason. Now, just to clarify, this is not talking about eunuchs or people who have never married. Virgins here is talking about unfaithful or faithful churches.
Yes.
So it's saying people who are not defiled with unfaithful women, unfaithful churches, or unfaithful doctrine. Okay? They've been faithful to God. They don't lie. They have no fault, not because of their own behaviours, but their behaviours are demonstrating their heart change. That's just to reinforce that. So in chapter 7 of Revelation, John's shown this prophetic vision showing how God is sealing his faithful people at the end of time, and is followed then in that same chapter by another vision of them being physically in heaven. So he sees before the tribulation, he sees after the tribulation. And now in chapter 14, we move to a vision of these redeemed people standing on Mount Zion together with Jesus. And this gives us another assurance of salvation. The next time Jesus stands on Mount Zion will be after the 1,000 years. So with his second coming, it doesn't say he's going to stand on this earth. It says he's going to come in the clouds, we're going to meet him in the clouds, and then we're going to go back to heaven with him. But after the 1,000 years, he comes, and with the new Jerusalem, he will be on Mount Zion. Goes bang on this earth. So the biblical order of things is that Jesus returns, those who've rejected him will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. The righteous are transformed or resurrected, they meet him in the air, they go back to heaven, and they're there for 1,000 years. Now, you can read some of that, Revelation 19, chapter verse 11, through to Revelation 20 and verse 4. So these are those that John sees in the second half of Revelation, right? The great multitude standing before the throne. They've all been collected and they've gone back to heaven. So although they're much part of a much larger number that will be saved, this 144,000 are called first fruits. So this group, although the number of 144,000 in chapter 7 seems to be symbolic, and it very well could be symbolic here in chapter 14 as well, it's still a very special group or number of people for some reasons here. Firstly, they're like no other group that's ever existed on earth. Every other group that has seen trials and tribulations have either succumbed to natural death afterwards, or they've died through the trials. Okay, so in history, that's this group, right? This group, however, they're sealed or protected by God. They remain faithful throughout the trial. They come out the other side victorious, and they don't taste death. And shortly we'll see how they're able to do that. There appears to be a number of first fruits mentioned in the Bible. And this is also very fascinating. Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 15:20, Jesus is called the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. All right? As he goes back to heaven after his resurrection, in Ephesians 4:8, it says, he takes with him captives. Now, these are those who are captive by sin. You know, they'd lived their life, they'd died, they were in the grave, and when Jesus was resurrected, some of them were resurrected as well. Matthew 27 talks about that, 51 to 53. Now, at his second coming, though, Jesus redeems those who have not tasted death, not tasted death. So at his resurrection, you have those who have died believing in God, and they, some of those are resurrected. It says many of those who slept in their graves. So they're a first fruit of those who have died believing in Jesus, a bit like Moses. You know, Moses died believing in Jesus, and he was there to encourage Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Someone else was there, Elijah. Now, he's an example of those who don't die. Jesus comes, and they're still alive. So this group, those who are alive when Jesus comes, are first fruits as well. So together with those who have died and these who are alive, they make up two types of first fruit. And Moses and Elijah seem to be examples of that as well. And that would be amazing to be part of that, you know. I really think that would be amazing to never have to taste death. But we have to move on. So when Jesus returns, there's these different groups of people. And it seems that when he comes back after the 1,000 years, there's this special group. There's this special group that have seen through that tribulation, that have had to live a life connected with God and not give up, not face death. So the obedience that's defined, the rest of Revelation 14 is dedicated to this final tussle between good and evil. People make up their minds whose side they're on, and it's shown the goodness of God in that he makes sure that no one needs to be excluded from this number. In chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, you have this everlasting gospel that's preached to all the world. So the picture now changes to back onto earth, you know, before sin has finished. While there's the last climactic events of history, God is saying, even this is how you can become part of this group that will eventually stand on the earth again. You can accept the gospel, the good news about God. And if you accept this good news about God, the good news about God says worship, respect, give glory to the one who created everything. You know, and then that points us back to the commandments. It points us back to the Sabbath. It points us back to a free will worship of God. You know, God goes on and he outlines the apostate religions are going to lose God's blessing soon. And all those that reject the life of God will eventually be removed from his presence, and they'll perish. But after all of this is outlined, John is shown again the way that this special group of people living through Earth's darkest times can remain faithful to God. And that's in Revelation 14, verse 12. And it said, "Here is the patience of the saints." This is not some special person. This is you and me.
Mm.
This is, if we've accepted Jesus, this is us. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Mm.
And so this defines true worship. It comes from the faith of Jesus. It's a life transformed by willing obedience. So, you know, we simply cooperate with God. We do everything we can. And that takes time, doesn't it, Jason?
It certainly does. I think if we're waiting for the last minute to make our decision, I think that's a dangerous plan. I think we need make our decision now and be well grounded in that faith.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So let me quickly summarize for today, for this program this week, for the way I've presented this and the way I've read this. One of the lessons we can learn is that the 144,000 is not this special group where if you don't get into the 144,000, you're out. The 144,000 is made up of people all over the world, all cultures, all churches that will be alive when Jesus returns and will have built a strong faith in him. God will seal them. He'll protect them. We might not feel like too protected. We'll still see all those things going on around us. We might lose some of our physical things. However, we need the Holy Spirit now as the guarantee.
Mm.
And then we'll have his transforming power over time to build a strong faith for that heartfelt love for Jesus that leads us into willing obedience. Mm. So there's still time today. There's still time today, Jason. Today is the day that God wants each one of us to start that journey and to learn to stand firm when trials come your way. As you overcome the little trials, the little challenges, God is preparing us for bigger things that come ahead. And we will need to stand up and be counted one day. So why not start practicing today?
Absolutely. It reminds me of a verse that's contained somewhere in Hebrews chapter 4 that it says, "And today is the day when we need to make that decision." So
that's it.
We've got our book offer coming up just after this.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Our book offer this week is Creation and Evolution. It's a book by Dwight Nelson, and it's a thoughtful look at the evidence for a master designer. So did a loving God create the earth, or are we just a random product of millions of years of natural selection? So text in the code TEM05, TEM for Tassie Encounters Moments, 05 to 0488880891. David, thank you for joining us this week. It's an interesting topic, a challenging topic.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed
it. It's been great. And we'll have David Leo to give us some thoughts on this topic in our next episode. So do tune in for that tomorrow. This is All Sons and Daughters. We are waiting as we are. May you encounter Jesus more and the Holy Spirit be with you as we wait for him.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.